watch me while I sleep. Don't require your belief. Offering silence but no relief. Can you scream without a sound? Like the freeze that's coming down. Barren space where nothing grows. A secret place where no one goes.
Chaos Springs Eternal is a Delta Green actual play. Delta Green, by its nature, deals with violent themes, disturbing imagery, and horrors beyond our comprehension. Now, if you wouldn't mind comprehending some horrors with us, I think you'll have a good time. And we're back with Chaos Springs Eternal Presents, Season 1, City of Woe.
Whoa, my book hole.
Yes, thank you for bringing in the pre-show banter so that none of our audience has context for what a book hole is.
You can figure it out.
But they'll find out. Just, I mean, it's what it sounds like, right?
Everybody's looking at one. Look into your mind's eye and you'll see.
Look deep into your mind's eye and you will find your book hole.
Oh, not that deep. Nope.
Nope.
Too deep.
Oh, too deep.
Yeah, actually, it's
a real shallow. Book holes are real shallow.
Yeah. It's very easy to find. It's not that deep in there.
But I wanted to go back and look at our last episode. You know, we've had a couple more sort of investigation-focused episodes where you've kind of picked up these little bits and pieces. You had some interactions, you know. We searched Antoine's house a couple episodes ago, and then last episode was really focused on the mayor, right? Going to the mayor's office, y'all successfully negotiated some extra hazard pay and a little bit of a cut of the anticipated increase in tourism, while also learning somewhat disturbingly that the mayor was moving forward with his plan to turn this into a rental property, Airbnb-esque Florizon Manor. You did confirm with the mayor that Antoine was living beyond his means, and that while the mayor had extended some money to Antoine before, he had kind of not been as generous with his portion of the money, did not invest in his brother's businesses. While you were talking, you got the idea that the mayor basically vaguely recognized Ezra Blackburn's name. And you kind of got the idea that Antoine and the mayor were kind of a little bit on outs, you know. The mayor pretty much has accepted that he's died. He doesn't obviously know for sure, but it's kind of hard to hold out hope. Although, you know, when he pressed y'all and then asked, you know, you weren't able to give, you know, confirmed yes or no's, but you did point out that, well, there are ghosts, so there's always room for hope. Y'all got a little bit of insight into what he thought of his, you know, family history. He mostly treated it like rumors, right? That he did, you know, these were things that were passed around, but not necessarily real. He didn't seem to take them very seriously. And y'all had mentioned the Riverbend Blues Lounge, which he wasn't too familiar with. And then after winding up that meeting, you kind of guys decided you wanted to figure out who Ezra Blackburn was, and that you wanted to learn a little bit more about the Riverbend Blues Lounge. And so then you drove to Florizon Manor after discussing various ways of learning more about Antoine, maybe a way to contact him, finding his ghost potentially, and then how to infiltrate the Riverbend Blues Lounge, maybe getting Glomus to change your appearance, which you pretty much confirmed that he probably couldn't do. And after a stop at McDonald's for some chicken wraps and McRibs and not a bag of ice and cake, y'all headed out to Florizon Manor, where Glomus invited you in. And so we're gonna jump right in and figure out exactly how you guys want to. There's a few options we've got, right, for trying to contact Antoine. And so as Glomus invites you in, he's saying, so So the and he's I think I was he in Antoine's body? I can't remember if I had him as Antoine.
I think you or not referred to him as Antoine, but I think he's just in the generic nondescript Big G.
All right, so he's in his Big G human guise, and he says, "So what do you guys want to do here? What is your real goal? Because again, we talked about ghost possibly. Seems unlikely, but I'm willing to. I have a couple ideas, but I'd like for you guys to share what you wanted before I introduce you to my options.
I do think, like, talking to his spirit in some manner would be beneficial. Whether there's a way to, like, channel just the mind and not the actual person, per se? As in, like, id no ego? Is that a thing?
If you know of a way.
No, I was hoping that someone else did. I haven't gotten that far in my, she looks at Joel, wizard studies.
Can't say I have either. So, I had a bit of a brain blast as Tyler. I've had a bit of a brain blast. And I was reminded that in a previous episode, Glomus mentions resurrecting or reanimating, I think is the exact word he said, Antoine's body to try and play off his death because he's such an important person. And I can't imagine a sentence like that going past our characters, especially since, you know, it's been a little over a week versus the 8 months or however long it's been for us. So I think Joel will bring that up, being like, okay, if we can't do the ghost thing, if we can't get his spirit through a Ouija board or some shit like that, you mentioned bringing him back. Is there a chance you can just bring him back for some answers?
Well, that's possible. It's not a guaranteed. I have a formulation in my laboratory that can reanimate a person. However, there is a slight chance that they are not cogent or intelligent. They would lack, let me not use mechanical, they would lack the ability to speak or function as a human.
Zombie, less intelligent.
Yes. Actually, exactly like a zombie.
Okay, cool. So let's not do that right off rip.
So unable to answer anything, just physically there, but nothing else.
And he says, actually, as I think about this, that requires it to be rather soon after death. The other way to bring him back, it's a little more guaranteed. It would take some time, and I would need you all to participate in the ritual. It would take several hours because we would essentially have to convert him into essential salts and then raise him from the essential salts.
Oh my.
Yes, it's it would have a greater, he would come back intelligent at least, but perhaps a little
salty.
Salty and with a perhaps less of a grasp on reality.
That'll also put a damper.
Would also need some of your blood. Okay, he looks at all of you and just like Huh?
Let's put that to the back
he's
of
got
the
a
list.
Syringe, hey?
he's got everything laid out and ready, like...
Eh. He's like a full phlebotomist.
The blood's annoying. Not that big of a... How much do you need?
Oh, let me check.
All of it.
Is it like a lot, or is it like just a slice the palm and squeeze some in type deal?
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's more than that. let me check. Where did it say? Okay. Thank you to Delta Green. Restoring essential salts to life is a somewhat simpler process, although it requires strange incantations and great quantities of human blood. So, any of you have great quantities of blood that you're not currently
I think
needing?
I'm using most of mine.
Joel pats his pockets. I think I left it in my home.
What do you mean by great quantities?
Oh, probably enough for him to... That's all he can eat for a few days after being restored.
Is he a vampire now?
No, it's just... as he gets back to life, you needed to sort of kick off the biological processes.
Oh.
Yes.
All right, we'll put that back of the list just ahead of zombie.
Okay, shit. All right.
The other issue is with that, it doesn't have the body available for Detective Marr.
That would be true, although we could just kill him again.
This is true. But if he's alive, I guess we don't really need the body, though, do we, Glomus?
Oh yes, you're true. That's exactly right.
I mean, do we really need the body? I mean, people go missing in Louisiana all the time. He's been thrown in a bayou. Nobody know.
This is true.
Cyril, I'm gonna be honest.
I mean, we don't need a body to pronounce somebody dead. I mean, it's helpful, but people go missing.
It doesn't sit right with me, Cyril.
Okay, well, other than doing a seance, I don't know. I mean, we know how rare ghosts are.
Yeah. I mean, seance, Ouija board, something like that. Just a way to talk to the spirit and not flesh.
Yes. And I assume that you brought a Ouija board with you.
We assumed you had one.
why would I have a Ouija board? I don't.
It just seems like one of those things you would have collected. We're sorry for making the assumption. We can.
Well, actually, that's extremely offensive.
You collected a fucking ticket for bowling for soup from me.
Yes, because that was an important show. That was an important show that you went to.
We assumed that someone else would have had an important connection to an Ouija board that you would have been like, yoink.
Nope.
Ouija boards are pretty crazy. Some people...
Hey.
Well, we can get a Ouija board. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what are the chances we have one for the show?
That's probably pretty high.
It's I'm just going to give that. It's a granted.
Okay. I didn't want to be the one to say it, and then I have to roll my 20 luck for that.
That one I'm going to grant, because I think we've talked about like what sort of ghost hunting stuff you'd have, and Ouija board would be in there.
Yeah. Thank you, oh benevolent handler. I bow to you. Joel will produce it from behind his back, just playing with everyone. Yeah, I got it right here.
Oh, well, that was quite a contrived way to do this, but...
I know.
All right. you know what might be... You know what might be interesting is I've been working on this circle of power to rebuild my ward. So I understand Ouija boards need to be placed in a circle of sorts, right? Candles and that sort of thing. Why don't we go down there and work on it?
So we're going to do a Ouija board on a circle of power over where two ley lines intersect.
What could possibly go wrong?
Columbus, do you have a you do retain a sense of irony, right? I just want to make sure.
What do you mean? You know I don't need iron to live, right?
Okay.
He needs the meat, not the blood.
I'm the more of the Alanis Morissette type of ironic.
It is like rain on your wedding day.
When all you need is a spoon. I don't remember.
It's like 10,000 knives when all you need is a fork.
It's a spork or something.
I hate that fucking song.
A spork?
Yeah, spork.
My child used to play that shit all the fucking time. Narratively. I'm so tired of that song.
I love the idea of like, I just need a spork. Nothing else. I don't need a fork or a spoon. I need the combo of the two.
Yeah.
It's like a full set of silverware when all you really needed was a spork. What was I saying? We could just do it down here. It's a nice little place. Bring in some flashlights and make this thing look nice. But
we can definitely do that. We can maybe set up a camera too, just so we have evidence to show to Detective Marr later.
Okay. If you're going to use any of the footage, please don't get me in the footage.
No. Well, one, Detective Marr knows about you, Glomus, and two, it'd be only for Detective Marr's eyes. Like,
okay. All right.
Should we let Detective Marr know that we're about to do this?
No. The less he knows, the better. We've talked about this. Every time we tell him something, he gets mad at us and he yells off camera. So just let's stop making him worry at work. We'll make him worry when he gets off work. All right.
So you set up the Ouija board. Maybe light a few candles. I'm sure you have some sort of setup like that. And you are in Glomus's circle of power. I don't actually like. Tell me how the Ouija board like setup goes. Like, how do you begin the incantations or anything? Because again, there's no guarantee that you're going to talk to Antoine.
God, that's so true.
I mean, you can try. I'm not going to say it's out of the realm of possibility.
Whatever we do, we have to focus immensely on Antoine Babineau. None of this fucking shit with anyone else. Zero thoughts of anyone other than Antoine Babineau.
So what I tell you, I'm looking at a couple different of these rituals that are already in, and just on the fly, I'm going to make like a basic, you know, cost. There's usually for activation, there's usually like a time and like a cost of willpower and sanity. Okay. And so this can be spread between all of you. And so I'm going to say, based off what I'm looking at, you know, like some of these things, like the essential salts is 22 willpower. Okay. I'm not going to make this 22 willpower. Yeah, dude, there's some like, petrification is 30 willpower to activate this.
Fuck.
I think that this is going to be a little bit more along the lines of like what it, So let us go ahead and willpower and cost. What do you think? Is this significant or substantial?
I
would say so, it's the greater of the two, whichever one.
Yeah, because I'm looking. This is, you know, the distance that they're giving for this sort of thing is like, you know, significant would be like something in sight up to like a kilometer, and substantial is like something distant, like 100 kilometers. So again, this is, you know, kind of adapting based off how long he's been dead and not knowing the certainty. I don't think it's major. Major means anywhere on Earth, right?
I mean, his body is here.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So I think substantial makes sense. Unless you want to bring his body into the room with you.
The argument I was going to make was that maybe we should have the body around because you know, there might be something about like the spirit wanting to return to the body, like being able to draw mm-hmm. Antoine back to.
Using the body as bait, yeah.
Can we lay him out the ley lines and then do the Ouija board on top of him?
You are bold, sir. Let's get it. That is a bad idea, but I'm sorry for it.
I think that I will bring the cost down from substantial to significant.
God, this is such a bad idea, but I'm so excited.
I just had an image of him.
I'm
like,
so excited
sitting,
at the stupidest grin. Yeah,
like,
okay. So that's going to be a total cost of 12 willpower.
Okay.
Okay. Let me. Yeah. Each wrist roll costs incurs a sand loss and a willpower cost that the operator must pay. So the sand loss is going to be 1d6 for activation or witnessing. All right. So,
okay. So we're okay. All going to eat a d6, basically.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and roll your sand. Okay. I get actually it just says so. Nope. Yep. You each just go ahead and roll your own sand loss. I'll go ahead and roll it for Glomus. And let me know.
It's if you, sand loss. It's not we roll a yeah, sanity
it's
check,
just
right?
Yeah. It's going to be sorry. Just sand loss. Sorry. That's like automatic. Okay. Glomus takes 2 points of sanity, which is fine.
Cyril okay. takes 3.
2 for
Seems
marks.
Like a the dice is weighted for that 2.
Yeah, we get everyone take, you know, 2 or 3, basically.
Poor Cyril.
No breaking points, right?
Nope, I'm 2 away.
I'm 4 okay. away.
And willpower away. Cost, so the total willpower is going to be 12. Okay.
What are your guys' willpowers?
I 10. Have 16.
Okay.
God damn.
So you guys just need to come up and tell me, and let me figure out how much Glomus has. Let's see if he will give you anything.
I thought you were telling us to tell you how much Glomus had. Glomus has exactly
or
has
how much 12, we were going to drain from Glomus.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if he gives anything. I guess I could just go look at the ghoul like default.
God, it's crazy that Glomus has 12 free willpower just sitting around.
You know what? He is a wizard, so.
I mean, really, just between the three of us, it's only 4 for each. I say only 4. Like, that's not a lot.
Okay, he has 13, so.
How do I have God more damn. Willpower? What the fuck?
All his points are in being a ghoul.
That's fair.
He does seem to be more of a scientist than a wizard.
That is fair.
Yeah, that's true.
I respect that.
Oh, and he has not gained all his willpower back from having to convert back to his form, so.
Oh.
That's fair.
That does cost a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
I mean.
That's part of it.
Just between us, that's only 3 each. Like, if we split it evenly across all 4 of us, that's 3 each.
Yeah, that's 3 nights of sleep.
Yeah, that's not that bad. I mean, we're not slinging spells yet too much.
One of us is.
Marcy, if you want to just take 2, I can eat the extra one for you. Since
I can eat stuff too. More. I mean, I got 16.
I'm okay. I think it's fair that we all put in 3.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'm down.
Is Glomus all right with that?
Yeah, he's fine with that.
Okay.
All right.
I think at some point I got more willpower drink because I was down 2, and I think that's fine. So just over the course of 5 days, I'll be back to my max. I forget when.
Because you pushed it onto a bond.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so the last thing that I want is a POW roll. Okay? Yeah.
Right. From who?
From everybody, and we're just going to count successes.
Like that?
Okay.
28 okay. under 60.
That's 2 successes. That's 3.
I got 58 under 70.
4 successes. All right, so with 4 successes, everybody taking a little bit of sand, everybody paying the will cost. So as you have Antoine's body totally, you know, fully rigor mortis with the Ouija board on top of him, as you're moving the what is it, the planchette, as you are moving this around, you know, Glomus begins leading, I think, and actually, you know, Cyril, you had the, well, okay, this is not really competing. So who had, actually, Joel, you had the 58 under 70, which is the highest. So of all the power rolls, you had the highest POW. So Joel, Joel begins to lead this. What does Joel say?
Yeah, so Joel, at first, like once he sees that the other three are kind of in the groove and he's kind of the lead in this dance, he begins to focus on Antoine's face and the probably the three total interactions he's ever had before with him, and just try to think of how he interacted or how he acted, and just, you know, kind of keep that as front as possible. And he'll say, Antoine, buddy, we really need your help here. We don't want you just to be another name in a pit somewhere in the swamp. We want to do right by you. Make sure that you and yours get the closure. And not only that, it will help us infinitely. Please come here.
Okay. As you lead this, you hear Glomus begin sort of echoing some of the phrases that you're saying. And I think Marcy and Cyril sort of ended, you know, unintentionally or maybe purposefully are also sort of echoing this, almost like a call and response. And the plan chat starts, you know, over in the sort of bottom left. And you all feel it begin to like heat up and begin to move around, and it moves to the yes, and then it moves to the A, and it moves to the A, and then it lifts up. You feel it lift up and push up against all your hands, and the planchet raises a good inch and a half, 2 inches above, and then slam back down on the A, repeatedly hitting the A, just up and down, up and down. I am going to need everyone to make a sanity roll as this happens.
Oh boy.
Holy shit.
All right.
He's got sticky keys on.
Okay.
Oh, no. Let him know. Tell him. Sorry, tell him.
Oh, my God. 37 out of 50.
Oh, 96.
Okay. Success.
So,
57.
Joe.
So, Glomus, Marcy, and Cyril, we're feeling this up and down just on the A, and you're kind of like, it's kind of weird and strange. Joel, go ahead and take 1d6.
Okay. Are you rolling it or should I?
Yeah, I'm rolling it. You take 3.
Okay.
And as this happens, Joel, you see it jumping up and down, and then all of a sudden there's just this echoing voice, you know, just starts out very quiet and then louder and louder as you hear something like the tortures of the damned, just a scream in your head, as if someone is being, I don't know, burned alive, roasted. Cut, just having every inch of flesh torn off their body repeatedly, melting and then reforming. It becomes a cacophonous symphony in your head of a single voice echoing, overpowering you. And as this goes on, I'm going to go ahead and need the option that you have here, Joel. And this is only for Joel since he is now sort of taken over. You can make another power roll, or sorry, willpower roll, or you can spend one permanent pow to push through this.
Ooh.
Oh, so like my 14 would become a 13 permanently.
Correct.
Okay. I have a really good pow. I will gamble and try for the roll.
Okay, before you do that, I'm going to warn you that the consequences of a failure is going to be bad.
Okay, I will accept those consequences as they come, because interesting things have to happen on this show.
That's fine.
Fuck yeah, right. Joel.
That's great. Get it. Oh,
fuck.
he's fuck. He's so fucking dead.
Okay, so everyone is feeling this, and I'm think
exactly one luck away from being able to make that a pass. Oh no.
Can I donate one luck to him?
Nope. No. I'm sorry. That is, especially with rituals, things go bad. So, yeah, go ahead. So everyone is seeing this go up and down on the A, and I think what happens is you guys, you know, Marcy and Joel and Glomus is, they are sort of having this experience where it's just kind of weird that it's bouncing up and down. Everyone begins to notice that Joel looks to be in physical pain. And he begins to scream as well as he feels the physical pain in his body from sharing this experience of just, again, it's like every bit of flesh is being slowly torn off your body. Your bones are melting and then reforming. It is everything awful. And you take 8 points of damage.
Holy
fuck me. Okay.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. All right. How are you looking? How are you looking, Joel?
That's just over half. I'm at 6 out of 14.
Okay. Jesus. All right.
Joel is. I just like his like ears are bleeding, and just like he's faces in like this twisted like silent scream of just anguish.
You feel all your nails begin to raise out of the nail bed.
Yeah,
as if they are each being picked up slowly. And everyone sees this as Joel begins screaming uncontrollably, and all of a sudden the planchette falls and clatters off the board onto the ground. Go ahead, Glomus and Marcy and Cyril, you're going to have to go make sand checks after seeing this. Okay, Glomus passes. He just takes one. Okay.
I fumbled.
This was a 1d4. So Marcy, go ahead and take 1d4, and Cyril, go ahead and take 4.
That's a breaking point for me.
I hit my breaking point.
Okay, awesome. Fuck. Okay. Oh man. So breaking points in Delta Green just as a little bit of like a let's take a moment and just look at breaking points in Delta Green one more time. Just go over
fight,
these breaking points
freeze.
Represent. So flight, flight, or freeze is 5 or more in a single go. Breaking right. points are for longer term. I'm not going to say like it, you know, mental disorder is not the right word, but it might be something that's sort of grouped into that same thing. It's not like you would
it's
develop,
a trauma.
You know, yeah. it is a trauma. And so I'm trying to think like what the best manifestation of this sort of thing. And I know they have somewhere in the book where it might be. Oh, you know what? It's probably in the agent's handbook, huh? Yeah, it's a representation of your mental toughness. Okay, so it's just something that will soon develop. Some sort of disorder. That might be a better way. So versus like a temporary fight, flight, or freeze, these are like sample disorders from the unnatural might be something like amnesia or depersonalization disorder. So that is like an actual disorder, but you know, this is more like it's not like a mental health thing, right? It's a it's an infection from the unnatural. So there's a handful of things that I think might make sense. Like for example, we got Joel already passed one of the breaking points, and he's got sort of that narcissistic streak, which I think makes a lot of sense. So well,
no, the narcissism
you know
was already him. It was that he no longer trusts people really.
That's right. That's right. So he's lost his trust in people. So we'll tie something into this. Something has changed in both Marcy and Cyril as a result of seeing Joel in extreme pain as a result of his failure to push through with the mental fortitude on this. And so as the ritual breaks and everyone has taken their sanity loss, Glomus looks around and says, I don't know what I think it worked, but I don't know what that means. What do you think? What does that mean?
As that's happening, like the instant that the ritual breaks, Joel like scrambles, like, you know, like on his like back, like pushing away from the board, like into the corner of the room. Away from it, just like terrified, like visibly terrified.
Yeah, I mean, that's more than Marcy took from her fall, right?
Yeah.
You have essentially just, it's like you were in a head-on collision, basically.
Yeah, like, it's not only that, it is, Joel is someone who's like, yeah, I mean, like, I have beliefs, but like, you know, like the whole religion thing's not sweet. Like confirmed the souls of the damned are just in perpetual torment. Like it is fire and brimstone always being poked and prodded in a tub of boiling water. Like it's like the reverse of a religious experience. It's like not the good kind. and he's just like freaked for a solid 30 seconds before he can really, like, converse.
Glomus looks around kind of confused, and he looks at Cyril and Marcy and is like, what's going on? What happened to him? Can you tell?
Marcy's just staring at, like, his nails where they got, like, you could see the trauma on them, I suppose, of just, like, something very bad just happened to Joel.
Yeah.
No. And Marcy just thinks, like, it's about to happen to one of us next. Like, something horrible is about to happen to her is going through her mind right now. And she's, like, debating, like, running away.
Yeah, Cyril's not really paying attention to anybody. He's quickly patting himself down, trying to find his Organite. And he pulls it out of, like, his pocket or his camera bag or whatever, and he's, like, gripping it tightly and just like, oh, thank God, thank God. Oh, son of a... I don't know what happened to Joel, but I think that this protected me for sure.
Joel, well, if Glomus comes to me, Joel will, like, at first, like, bat him away for a second, just like, what the fuck? Just, like, unable to speak, and just, like, coming out of a panic attack, just, he's damned. Biblically damned. He's made a deal with the devil. We're dealing with devils. Demons.
Well, that's not at all what I expected.
How are you so fucking calm right now?
Well, Joel, I've lived a long time. I've seen many things. I've forgotten many things as well. So, listen, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and have him make a roll here to see if he can... Nope. Okay. Nope. All right. He's like, I have no clue what's going on here. But I should, because I've got, like, I have all the things, but, I mean, Joel, listen, I know you guys, you know, have some religious things, but as far as I know, like, there's no actual, like, hell dimension, as far as I know, and, I mean, I brought people back, and they don't have memories, so I don't know, maybe that's just something, well, again, I don't know, but. I wouldn't say it's necessary. There's other things that could be going on with his spirit that may not.
You didn't feel it. You didn't hear him. He was screaming. That's what the haze were. He was screaming. It was more than him. I heard it all. I felt it all. Barbed hooks and red wrought iron sticks. Poking, prodding, pulling. He's gone. We can't do anything for him, with him. He's just, like, shaking.
We need to stop and get Joel someplace that is safe and he can recover and we can all get our shit back in order and just take a break, y'all. Let's take a break.
I don't know that we can. Well, I mean, I guess you guys can take a break. I'm very close to being done with this. And he points at the circle. Says, I think I should be good to make it happen on this by Sunday. I should have everything ready, and all the time has passed in order for this to be cast. So okay. today is Monday.
Joel needs to not be here right now, is what I'm saying. Glomus.
Okay. I mean, if you got to take him home, you take him home, you know?
I'm not going home. We're not done today. We're not done today. And he'll get to his feet. The chief, the police chief. We still need to look into him.
Shut the fuck up. You're done.
Yeah.
We're fucking done for the day, Joel. I just saw something try to rip your fingernails out. You are sidelined for the day. I can feel something unraveling in my head, and you just saw into hell. If I'm telling you to sit down and shut the fuck up, there is something very wrong, and we need to stop for just a bit, and just take a breather, Joel.
Marcy, there is no stopping. There is none. I want to. So badly. Do you know how bad I want to go home and just smoke a bowl with Kian, watch Courage the Cowardly Dog, and send dick pics to Ivy? So bad. So bad.
Didn't wow. need to hear that last one, Joel. Well, didn't need to hear that last
one. Keep that one in the book hole.
Keep that in the book hole.
But we can't. All right? We're in a haunted house with a dead body of the mayor's brother who was killed by Satan and a shapeshifter, and I can see through space and potentially time, and we have two ghosts inside of a crystal that Cyril is holding on to for dear life like it's a lucky rabbit's foot.
It did save us. It saved you.
Marcy's right. Just shaking her head.
I can't tell you what we should do.
I'm of the opinion that if Joel wants to go on, that's Joel's decision. I mean, what else is going to happen?
One of us goes to hell.
Well,
I've already been.
Joel's already been, and I'm pretty sure I'm heading that way. At least I'll be with friends.
Glomus says, hang on, actually, just for that. And he goes back into his underground laboratory. It takes him a few minutes, and he comes back, and he's got a hypodermic needle that is filled, a syringe, you know, with needle, and it's filled with a strange blue liquid. And he says, just in case one of you die, quickly inject this into whoever died's brain. The quicker, the better. Is that gonna help you?
Marcy just stares at Glomus. Yeah. Her eyes are like barely open, just squinting.
Is that formaldehyde? Are you trying to preserve us?
No. This will bring you back. This is what I was going to use on Antoine before I remembered that it's been far too long.
Is that Mountain Dew voltage?
It's right,
cut that joke. Wasn't as funny as I thought it was gonna be.
No, that was fine.
No, cut it.
he says it's an old trusty formula of mine. It takes quite a bit of time to put together. It takes a lot out of me every time I have to make it. But it's a bit of work. And don't let it get, you know, too warm.
What is this stuff?
This stuff is the reanimation formula. it's a legit thing straight out of the Delta Green handler's guide. So
takes a lot out of me. It's very warm.
Mm-hmm.
Fills up a book hole.
It's also blue. So well, you know.
to each their own.
All right.
We've always pondered what goes into a book hole, but never what comes out of it.
Joel will grab it and then immediately hand it to Marcy.
Okay, Marcy makes a dex roll. Me? Yeah.
No, he doesn't throw it. He just like grabs it and then just like puts it in front of
a critical success. Nice.
I'm so glad you wasted that. but he will put it in front of her and he'll be like, Marcy, you're the most level-headed of us. You're the one that's going to be probably the least immediate danger if we do anything stupid.
Glomus and I are sitting right here. I mean,
Marcy is literally just staring at Joel and just like looking to like, Joel, I'm freaking the fuck out. Joel, I am. Every neuron in my brain is screaming at me to stand up and run away from this hellhole of our own creation.
Okay. Yes, and I understand and go, that. Here's my argument, Marcy. I'm almost dead. And if anything goes bad, Cyril has the gun and will be being the one shooting, more than likely, more than either of us, and is a little more headstrong than you, and therefore probably more likely to be attacked than you.
Fuck.
Welcome to medic duty.
Fuck you, Joel.
Speaking of medic duty, why don't we go ahead and make... does Cyril want to roll like a medicine or first aid? Or maybe Marcy does, just to we see if we can get a couple hit points back on Joel just for funsies.
I have the requisite 10%.
All right.
As do I. All right. Can I aid him to get it?
Both of you can roll it independently.
I failed. Oh.
I'm spending 3 luck.
There you go.
Okay. All right. For 13 over 10, spend 3 luck to get it there. So go ahead and I think you just get 2 back from like a successful check. Go ahead and give yourself 2 hit points as Marcy tenderly bandages all of your fingers.
Oh, no, there's nothing tender about this. There's nothing tender about this. This is full on like...
Brutally bandages you.
Brutally.
The gauze strip is as tight as I can get it around his fucking, like...
This is like a Far Cry Blood Dragon when the guy is wrapping himself up, you know, injecting himself. That's the sort of look we're going for here. But Gloma says, I think we have an answer. I don't think it's something that Antoine did long time ago. Does that make sense? He was always he made poor decisions, but I don't think he was an evil man. I like to think that I'm an okay judge of character.
Probably no one better than anyone else in here other than his fiance.
I mean, all have sinned, right? All have sinned and fallen short, so I mean,
that's true, sure. But I'm wondering if there's not something more recent that might have been the cause, or...
Yeah, that's... Whatever maybe. They talked about at the Blues Lounge.
Yes, I... Seems all signs point back to the Riverbend Blues Lounge.
Yeah.
Well,
can we... Maybe we should warn him as well. By the way, we did talk with the mayor. His current plan is to turn this into an Airbnb.
His eyes go wide, and he's like, I don't... What does that mean?
Hotel.
Like a bed and breakfast kind of thing.
Right, I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. So there'd be people staying here, like, enjoying the land and the beautiful rooms.
That is not great.
No.
But, once your ritual's complete... Does the structure need to stay standing?
Not, he says, I will look into that. I don't know how much is the
in that
house.
Barcy's eyes just go wide at the idea of just a gas leak at the Florizon Manor. Whoopsies.
I think it would probably need to. I have many theories.
Whatever's going on with the chest upstairs.
Oh, fuck.
Is that still there?
Yes. Unless you took it out of there. But,
Listen, that one's a little past me today. We'll put a pin in that one. Can we go stalk a police chief now, please?
Do you want to stalk a police chief or you want to go to the Riverbend Blues Lounge? Sounds like that's where all roads are going to converge here. And I'm just wondering if Glomas can help us. Did we talk to you about disguises?
I can't remember if you talked to me directly, but had you talked to me directly, I would have said that, no, that's pretty much only a thing I can do as a ghoul.
Hmm.
Okay. I could provide you a number of long overcoats and scars.
All right.
And if you tie them up real high over your chin, you might look like two kids riding each other's shoulders trying to get into the movies.
Interesting.
I like that one.
That's what we'll have to do. I got to be on top, though.
No, no, you would each three look like you were six children stacked on top of each other trying to...
Oh, dude, I thought we'd all get on each other's shoulders.
No.
And be like the world's tallest man.
They don't make coats that tall.
The madness is affecting Cyril in strange, dark ways.
Dark ways.
Okay. So,
performing Eric Andre bits.
Pizza ball! No. Okay, so the reason I brought up the police chief again is we still... I'm a little sus because he really pushed for Antoine's girlfriend as the murderer. Like, it was immediate.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where even Virgil, like Detective Marr, was like, this is weird. Like, can you look into this for me?
Yeah.
And I think that is more within Joel's current physical means than going back to the Riverbend Blues Round. Where we know something's fucked. Also, I know that he didn't hit a breaking point, but this is enough of a traumatic thing that he's not soldiering up for this today.
What, you don't want to go get in another gunfight?
It's not even that he doesn't want to get into a gunfight. Man. I think he's afraid of whatever is in that lounge.
Mm.
More guns.
Like I genuinely think that Joel probably believes that there is some demonic, nefarious things going on there until proven otherwise.
The big bad evil guy is just the king of all Jeeps.
Fucking Jeeps. Sitting on a throne of Jeeps.
Sitting on a throne of Jeeps made of aftermarket parts and...
Fucking Jeeple.
My God.
Jeep just Lord.
Just a bunch of decapitated rubber duckies that they put on the...
and it's his... He's wearing a t-shirt that says, if you can read this, flip me over, and it's upside down.
Yeah, and he has a bunch of Salt Life. He has a bunch of Salt Life stickers all over, even though he's never left Missouri.
Yeah, and he's got a big, like, dune flag, for, like, the dunes. Yeah.
Hang on, anyways, it's coming to me, it's coming to me. Jeepsabub.
Yes, Jeepsabub.
That's actually... That's where we're gonna wrap this one up on Jeepsabub.
Most serious
king of hell.
The most serious episode we've ever had. The most traumatic episode we've had as characters, I think, ends with Jeepsabub. Thank you,
everyone.
I'm glad that you stuck.
I don't know. Marcy's falling through the floor was pretty traumatic.
It's pretty traumatic. Yeah.
Yeah, but this is Marcy fell through a floor, and then this is Joel saw hell, and his two best friends saw him panic.
Yeah.
So
you're good. This episode had a little bit of everything for everybody. Aww. So find out next time what happens on Cast Rings Eternal.
Jeepsabub.
Buckle.
Thank you once again for tuning in to Chaos Springs Eternal presents Season 1, City of Woe. We've had a lot of fun these last few episodes, and we've got the other, like, the next two or three episodes recorded, and it's really, really fun. I just love playing with these guys. I love playing Delta Green with these guys, and I love Arc Dream Publishing for putting out Delta Green. Shout out to Arc Dream Publishing. They've been doing a lot lately also to promote podcasts that have been playing Delta Green, so make sure you go check out their website. Check out Reddit. They've been posting on Reddit. I've also compiled a list of Delta Green podcasts, and it's just a Google Sheets document that you can go check out, so I'll drop a link to that in the show notes as well. And if you have other Delta Green podcasts that you listen to, let us know. Please also let us know your feedback for Chaos Brings Eternal by going to iTunes or whatever podcast app you have and giving us some feedback. You can also reach out to us using our website, qmtabletop.com. We would love feedback. And if you do rate and review us, send us an idea for an NPC. We've got people to populate the world of Care 4 with. Things are going to get a lot weirder and probably a lot darker before too long, so just a heads up in case that's not quite your thing. We'll be back to, you know, the fun antics too, but just I know where this story is probably going, but who knows, because players never quite go along with my plans, but we shall see. Anyways, tune in next week. See ya.
Very easy to find, you know, though. If you really need to figure out, it's actually a small, really obscure piece of lore in Lord of the Rings involving the ever-expanding empire that Aragorn handles and the resources that it drains on the economy. Easiest way to find out is to Google Aragorn inflation. And
Jesus.
That was such a contrived setup for that joke.
That was so good. That was very good, Tyler.
Yeah,
that's all I do, baby.
Well,
all right. I do.
Tom Bombadil has a massive book hole.
Yeah,
he would. Everybody knows.
He's got the eldest book hole.
If you don't give him the ring, he will lose it in his book hole.
He will put it in his book hole and we'll never see it again.
All of us, if his book hole gets hold of him.
Cast the ring into the book hole.
Cast the ring into the book hole.
I can't do it. I want it for my own book hole.
I'm not strong enough, Mr. Frodo. You have to take the book hole.
I can't put it in there, Mr. Frodo. You told me not to touch your book hole.
No.
Something from the depths. A book hole.
What's this Lambus bread doing in here?
Should we just restart?
I know what Boone I would ask of Galadriel. For a deeper book hole.
A deeper book hole.
Tighter book.
The tightest book hole.
No, I need more room for my books. So a bigger book hole would be great.
Cavernous book hole.
Boy, we are just
the book hole.
You know, I really knew that we'd always be sort of on the explicit side, not because we're necessarily like super raunchy, but just because.
Hey, nothing we said was sexual. Great. If you took right. us talking about literature in a sexual manner, fuck you,
sir. I made everyone go Google Aragorn inflation.
I mean, Brandon Sanderson is always in my book hole.
I'm pretty sure that Aragorn inflation might get cut to the end. We'll see. It'll depend on how I feel when I'm editing this or when our editor is editing this. We do have a person who helps me out editing from time to time for money, in exchange for money. And they do a great job. I'm really happy with the work they do. And it takes a lot of pressure off me because, you know, I have work and work is sometimes busy. So
it's a lot of pressure off your book hole.
Anyway,
I feel so sorry for them in this episode.
Yeah, this one's going to be an interesting cut.